Hey, good morning, friends. So in the instruction this morning, I will offer four pieces. The short, number one short piece on the, a word, yeah. It's not native. You know, I have a husband and a other colleague and this colleague and I. It's not native sound. You are. Anukampa. Anukampati. I'll say a little bit about that. Number two, about how to get the fire going of metta. Practicing with that a little bit. And number three, how to relate with difficult emotions that arise today. Number four, we'll do it 12:15, which will take us into the next category of beings. But until then, we have a chance to get the fire of metta going. When I say metta, it's also shorthand for all four of the Brahmaviharas. Really, if metta is present, the other three are present. There has to be equanimity, or else it's not metta, right? If you're pulling and pushing, i.e. if there's no equanimity, it's not metta. So we will go into each of them, but they are implied. Joy here would be, in a way, the qualitative capacity to be able to touch things really lightly, approach with a real light touch. What is there? Okay. So anukampa, anukampati, this word in Pali for the ground, we could say the basis for all the emotional qualities, the capacity, anukampati, the capacity to resonate, right? We're like instruments, we feel things, we resonate, like a violin whose strings are not being plucked. When someone plays a violin nearby, boing, this string over here will also resonate. Yeah, and that those resonators can become more and more cultivated, just as we can learn more and more to play an instrument well. So this anukampa, this basic ground, we could say, provisionally, of the citta, of the heart mind, is our capacity to pulsate, to resonate along with things. So more about that in the course of the retreat. But just to say that this basis is the basis for our emotional sensitivity. And emotional sensitivity doesn't just mean the sort of human emotions of my, not only the kinds of things I was talking about yesterday, my despair, rage, anger, joy, bitterness, whatever. There's lots. It also means our capacity for the emotions of the Brahmaviharas as well, right? So in a retreat, in this retreat, for these days, as we're beginning, as we're settling in with the Brahmaviharas, we are emphasizing the resonant capacity of the Brahmaviharas. We're privileging those of all the range of human and more than human emotions that we can feel. We are privileging those ones, learning how to turn toward them, let them build, let them grow, brighten, shine. So we're prioritizing certain parts of the range that we have. We have a huge range. We're prioritizing certain parts of the range. So in the retreat description, it said, with our body as home base. It also said, with emptiness as our ground. We'll get there. With our body as home base. This also means then with our resonators, as home base, the ground of the capacity to pulsate with metta, with joy, with equanimity, with compassion. So this ground of resonant ability, your sensitivity, your emotional sensitivity, can be cultivated. This is the really good news in the Dhamma. It's one of the really good news. This can be cultivated. Wow, that means we get to be gardeners. It's not just, oh shit, I have to face all of this. We actually participate in this. This is really good news. How we participate, we have to learn, because if you're anything like me, I came in really heavy-handed to my gardening. It's like breath, poof. There's a weed, poof. Maybe you weren't heavy-handed. Maybe you were tentatively handed when you began. Whoa, there's my mind and my heart. I don't know. Maybe you were like a natural gardener. I don't know. But we learn how to garden. It's beautiful, actually. And one of the images Rob gave for Brahma Viharas then, for metta practice, he would say we participate in metta practice to get the fire going, to get the fire of metta going. And how do you get a fire going? So pause. Firstly, he's using an idea, oh, this fire can be built and grown. Fire of the Brahma Viharas can start to crackle and burn and pop and radiate and warm and illuminate in the way a fire does. So you have already cleared the ground for the fire. You came here. We already have the protection that you need to get a fire going, with the obvious protections that are here. Of, you know, we don't have to look at our phones and deal with our colleagues. I do, but you don't. But, you know, we have the protections from the normal things that that, you know, just keep us kind of pulled and pushed. And so then, how do we cultivate this fire then, build it? Through our attention, through the offering of the phrases, through the sensing of the resonators, through the reminding ourselves of our intention. So through a loving approach to anything that arises. Breath arises, may you be well. Body is arising, may you be well, may you be soothed. Someone else walks in front of you, may you be well. Sight, sound, smell, taste, touch in the mind, a loving approach towards will build the fire of metta in the resonant capacity of the citta to burn and blaze. So imagine I was playing with this idea, and I was sitting with on a metta retreat, and one morning I was on my cushion like you are now, like I am now, on my little mat, like is it sabutan these are called, I believe, and a cushion, and I had the image of this, a fire bowl. So it wasn't actually, mine wasn't directly on the earth in this image, it was like these nice steel fire bowls or whatever they're made of. You know those things? Do you have that? And I was like, okay, I'm building the fire. So offering the phrase was like putting a twig on the fire, like a little tiny stick. May you be well. Put that in the fireball. What's the effect? Not much. Okay. May you be well, my love, as I offer it out. Oh yeah, it starts to build a momentum. May you be safe and protected. And the fire, stick by stick, starts to gain momentum and starts to gain steadiness. Right? If you forget about putting the sticks on, the fire won't take. Right? so we stay, but we enjoy. The fire-keeping task is a beautiful task, actually. And we find the material from our intention and attention to build the fire. So maybe your image is not like a fire, maybe it's like a lake, your emotional sensitivity. And as you practice with the body and the phrases or the images or the intention, maybe this lake of metta, this lake of your instrument, is fed by clear streams of beautiful goodwill. Like clear streams feed into that lake, cool water, like maybe well. And the pool of water, the lake starts to gather and become clearer. And maybe the water's silky. And maybe it's transparent. And you enjoy finding the streams and the tributaries of your intention, maybe well. May you be soothed. And you notice if you come in too hard, may you be soothed. The lake kind of goes, not ready for that stream yet. Or if I'm too tentative, right? We find the approach. We don't have to know in advance. It belongs to the nature of things. We find out what's needed now, what kind of approach. A little softer? Oh no, a little firmer here. Oh, a little more from this direction. So we get to have the privileged role, actually, of participating in feeding the lake. That it may be a clear forest pool for metta. Or maybe your image is completely your own and I have no idea, but it could be like a potter's wheel. Someone who makes pots and they have their wheel going. And they have their clay, their citta, their sensitivity is like clay on the wheel. And the potter's hands are there as the wheel is going around. And if the potter's hands are too tight, right? And if the potter's hands are too loose, and we learn to tune, may you be well, my love. May you be safe and protected. And we don't necessarily know what it's about. Is it about the clay? Is it about everything? Is it about the world? Yes, all of that. And sometimes we can be specific, and we will be. But as we're getting the clay going, find your participation through intention and attention. We'll practice with this in just a moment, but to say, so we'll practice with this first bit, and then I'll go on to the difficult emotions after we've practiced a little bit with this. if there's a little bit of loveliness or pleasure with that, our task is to enjoy that. So let the goodness of this, as it gets going, let it spread. Sometimes there's a little bit of ease, loveliness, silkiness, fieriness, aliveness, brightness, sweetness, yumminess. That, allow that to spread. Like a fire takes and grows bigger. Let it spread and fill and pervade and saturate every cell. The more body the more we abide, the more we abide, the more potent this gift that is not for us, but it's also for us. This gift of the abiding of the Brahma. So this morning, when this is available, and even when it's not, find ways to build your fire, touch your clay, let the lake be fed. Enjoy it for its own beauty. Be a generous host for this garden. Let's practice with this for some time, and then later I'll do the emotions. I mean, these are emotions. The other ones, the difficult ones. A little bit about difficult thoughts and emotions that arise in the context of our metta practice. With difficult emotions, there can be two extremes, and maybe you know yourself somewhere in these spectrum. Either something difficult arises in the heart, and I always ignore it and push it away. One extreme or the other, I always go into it and try and investigate it as another extreme. I've done both, a lot of both. Starting with one of the, just in the first, I'm in the papancha spinning in my untrained mind. Then I come to practice, think I have to be with something else, push the emotion away. Then I learn I have to be with it, so I always go and try and investigate it. And actually we want a middle way, we want more skill here. We want a middle way between extremes, and wisdom really asks what's needed now. It doesn't say always go into it, and it certainly doesn't say always ignore it. So I'll name three kinds of situations. None of them are going to be clear-cut in reality, but you get the picture. Number one, you don't have to pick up every thought or feeling that arises. It's like sometimes I see my mind present. One teacher gives the image of in a market, and the stall holder in the market says, "Hey, come over here, buy one of these." And you can just walk straight past. You know you're actually not in the business of buying some of those. So if let's say my mind starts complaining about something, and it's, do you know what? There's nothing I have to investigate there. It's just not that interesting. Thank you very much. I'm carrying on building the metta. So this is not bypassing, this is not, the things we worry about, and sincerely when we go to the other extreme, think we mustn't do. Number two, sometimes, and just for number one, really know yourself there. Do you know how to, and can you train in the skill of like, I don't need to pick this up. Sometimes the metta is burning bright, or it's started to get going, and then an issue, a thought, a feeling, emotion arises, and it can become the cause for metta practice to grow. So what do I mean? Let's say the thought arises of that issue at work with my colleague, just kind of pops in, but it has a kind of sticky emotion with it. And I can sort of sense the agitation and the jumpiness in the body, like somebody has to do something about that thing at work. Any of you ever get that? It has this sort of jumpiness, and you start to feel it in the body, but the metta hasn't gone away. The metta is still there in the center. And this agitation or jumpiness or distress can come into the fire, not because we're trying to burn it away, but can come into the warmth and the illumination of the fire. And the fire can just continue, or the water can just continue. May you be soothed, my love. Right? It doesn't take us away anywhere. It's right there at the fire. May you be soothed. And the agitation still jumps up. May you be soothed, my love. May you know you are held. Sometimes I have the image, I have a Mac computer, and on the dock at the bottom there's those little apps that I haven't turned off properly that like jump up and down every now and then. It's because I really don't deserve to have a computer.
It's true. You've got one.
I know, I've got one. My husband bought it for me. But anyway, they jump up and down sometimes. Sort of saying, click on me, click on me. And actually, you've got the whole, so much more going on. It's like, may you be soothed, my love. Ah, may you be soothed, my love. And sometimes it's helpful at that point for me to reflect, you know what? I'm here until next Sunday. I'm not going to fix that thing right now. Okay. Okay. And actually, I want metta more than I want my wish to control and fix every agitating situation in the world, as many as there are. Doesn't mean I'm never going to engage. It means actually I want to put my trust more in the metta, because I think that's going to grow a more helpful garden than the one that thinks, if I could just fix this one thing, if I could just, yeah. So whatever it is, you might have a different sort of app. Whatever your thing is. A rule of thumb, which is probably the same idiom. Is that if we're going to go to work with something difficult, that the awareness, the mindfulness, the metta needs to be stronger than the thing. So I'm now going to go to category three. In category two, the metta is stronger than the agitation. Number three, sometimes, God help us, we're just in it. I didn't have any choice about not picking it up or having the metta. It picked me up, right? It picked me up, whatever was that thing. And then we must learn, it's not wrong, it will happen, it's normal, it's part of it, to learn to navigate this with skill and kindness. And don't expect that we know always how to navigate in advance. I think the point of this category three is that it's probably at the edges of where my kindness, skill, metta, wisdom has grown, and it's just at the edges of that territory. So we learn, that's where we learn something. So sometimes it picks us up, and if it picks us up, of course we need to work with it. So how do we work with it? Sometimes it could still be, it still may not be really like a heavy thing. We might think it is, but it may not be. Maybe like a little wisp. But I think, oh my God, that's connected to this big thing from my history or whatever. Maybe, but maybe it's just like a little wisp right now. And actually, come back to the metta, and the warmth of the metta kind of burns through that little wisp, that mist that's there. Sometimes, though, we are really in it and we're spinning in the story, and the agitation and the body is involved and the mind is involved, and we've involved everyone here sometimes as well. We've definitely involved Naroda in it, you know, whatever. Sometimes we need to learn how to come out of it. Before we can investigate, before we can care for, we need to know how to come out of it. We can't really investigate if the strength of the emotional tone is stronger than our mindfulness. Right? How do we come out of it? A couple of ways. One might be physically to come out of it. Sometimes on a retreat, just go for a really fast walk. Like, just tramp around in the gorgeous place here. You know, just be more physical. Be, like, less inner-focused, right? Learn how to come out. Sometimes coming out doesn't have to be physical. It can be simply, okay, I'm going to widen my attention now. Ah, look what's happened. My attention has got completely like sucked, captured, captivated. Ah, can I widen the lens? No. Okay, go for a walk. No, okay, right. What? All right, yeah, we can widen the lens. All right, right. Using the hands, using, softening the eyes. Don't underestimate that skill that has been developed to widen the lens to a bigger body and a bigger space. And then we have the chance for what Rob called the fried egg. practice, there's the pain, or there's the difficulty in the body, and we can surround it from this more spacious awareness with a light touch, with kindness. Yeah. Fundamental, though, in that is, can we sense this in our body? So, three things, if we want to or need to give it some investigation and traction. Can I sense it in the body? Can I hear the speech, the inner speech of it, without becoming the inner speech of it? And can I sense or hear the self-inference? You don't have to remember all this, right? Coming to the body is already huge for most of us. Huge, right? So imagine, I'll take it from the map into the picture of practice. Imagine kindness comes in for a moment. There you are in this spin in your mind. The bitterness, the jealousy, the rage, whatever it is, the despair. Kindness comes for a moment and says, stop, my love, stop. Can not stop, because we can't just stop. I mean, if we could just stop, we'd have stopped. If you can just stop with kindness, I'm happy for you. But in this scenario, stop, my love, stop here means, can you feel this in the body? Huge step. Can you translate it from a story about in time, past and future, to an arising in the present that's happening right now? Can you sense this in the body, my love? No. Or whatever is your... You're beginning to hear my mind now. No! Can you sense this in the body, my love? Can you stay just a moment? Can't sense anything. Okay, maybe there's an image. Sense here. Oh, look, can you sense that hardness right there in your chest? Can you sense that density in your diaphragm? Can you sense that thickness running through your central channel? All right then. Ah, okay. And while you're sensing, watch if attention shrinks. Gets overly fascinated. We want the equanimity as well, that is not over fascinated, but that is not under energized. Not making more of this, nor less of this. Introduce a little breath. Maybe there's a welcome. Maybe kindness says, welcome, my love. You can be here for as long as you need. Completely allowing, opening your body, as Rob would say, 110% to allow the phenomena of the emotional body that are arising. And maybe it does soften a little. Maybe it does unwind a little. Or a lot. And maybe there's some compassion arising for this pain and this tangle that we have been in or get into in our lives. And you might sense the emotional tone as well as the energetic tone of. You might sense the distress and name it. Oh, this is distress. This is agitation. This is bitterness. This is envy. This is... I don't know what this is, but it feels like it could bite someone. Right. Ah. This may be enough for the metta to come and the fire to gather again, that momentum you have been building, to gather around. We don't have to investigate forever to bring it to conclusion. You might hear the inner speech. And this might be happening at the same time. Also, why did they did that thing? And why should, it's not fair. Why did they? Nobody liked them. You might start to hear the inner speech from a place that is not identified with the inner speech. As the metta grows, as the stillness deepens, that which hears the inner speech is not compelled by the inner speech. We can rest into that which hears the inner speech. And that which hears the inner speech can radiate complete acceptance and love and wisdom. It doesn't have to fix the inner speech, trace it back to any other roots, that's other kinds of practices that may have a place. And then as we hear the inner speech, the complaining, the grumbling, the raging, the collapsing, we might hear a self-inference. What do I mean? I mean that that jumps up and down, that little app that keeps jumping up and down. It's got a kind of self-inference that keeps being made. You don't have to hear this or see this. I plant it as a seed in case it's useful for you. And what do I mean? As I hear, as I sense this in my body, and I hear the distress, and I hear the inner speech that says, why don't they? And then I hear the self-inference. Ah, here's the one who thinks nobody cares about her. Ha, huh. Got you. And something can start to rest. And fade. And kind of curl up and go to sleep. At the great tree of the Brahma Viharas. You don't have to remember this apart from the body part. Come to the body. Please remember all the other skillful means that you have developed in your life. When the emotion takes you, when it captures you, a couple of other useful things you may have practiced or would like to is to not be so fixated on the even what's happening in the body. Very, very nice practice is to say, oh, this is happening, this hardness, thickness, fieriness, collapseness, emptiness, you know, not that kind of emptiness, not his kind, I was pointing that way, sorry. Not the Buddhist emptiness, but the emptiness where that feels like it's deficient emptiness, whatever it is. You don't have to be so fixated. You can say, oh, this is happening, but what else is happening? Ah, this is happening, but there's also actually some presence. My bum is here, my flesh is here, there's actually some goodwill around. Huh, yeah, but shouldn't I investigate this thing? Maybe not. Maybe not right now. We're building resource, we're privileging metta that is not necessarily bypassing anything. We're learning when is the time to pick something up. And when is the time to not pick something up? Right. This is really a big part of wisdom. So what else is going on? Actually, there's some pleasure in my belly right now. Yeah, but that's not the real thing. The real thing is this really shitty thing. Let the jury be out on that. What happens if you really allow yourself the pleasure in the belly and let it spread and fill? And then 2 hours later, okay, what's it like from here now to investigate the shitty thing, the difficult thing, right? The difficult thing co-arises with where we're looking from. Doesn't mean we create it absolutely as some sort of extreme view, but we are participating in ways that are quite deep. What would it be like to build and trust the building of the resource and then come back to investigate another time? Okay. Finally, it's enough, isn't it? We'll say more. There's lots. There's always more. That was a bit strange to end it like that, wasn't it? Sorry. Okay, I'll tell you the two categories so you at least know. Category was playing with the ways of the ideas about what emotions are, right? So if I look upon the emotion that arises and I don't just assume it has all its roots only in my childhood, or that's good work. It's not knocking that work at all. I've done that work and I can do more of it. But to not just assume an emotion is caused there and there and there. No, just like I don't know what the place of emotions is. I don't know. Let there be a corner of mystery there, because then our approach to them is a little bit more humble, actually. A bit more humble. Okay. Well, let's just sit for a minute with that. So in a few minutes, the first round of small groups will begin, group A and B, and we would love to meet you and check in with you and just hear a little bit how you're doing and if you have any questions for us. Group A is in the
down by the sauna building, sometimes called interview room meta. I'm not sure whether that sign is up there.
Yeah, you can enter through that side. And group
B
is with me in Sovint. There's no letter on the end, it's fallen off.
Yeah. The room previously known as Sovinto.
Yeah, I'll be there. So do come along. If you haven't checked out which group you're in, then they're on really big letters now that I'm getting older. I really appreciate it. It's written really nice and big for people who are my age and older or who have trouble seeing. Check that and they'll begin soon. So two things. Somebody, since I said about writing a practice diary in the talk and then we didn't and we told you not to write, how does that work? two things. One is that was on a personal retreat where there aren't other people around, and it was many years of training, not writing, right? Just to put that, if you haven't spent many retreats not writing, then that's a really, really good practice also. If you would like to take a few practice notes and you have some paper, then here's how I would suggest that you do it, how we would suggest that you do it, is probably not at this point, maybe when we get later on in the retreat, we will change this, but at this point, while we're still landing and guarding the senses and supporting each other, don't do it in the communal spaces. So, which is sort of everywhere, really, because the rooms are communal, aren't they? But your bedrooms are communal. But maybe a little bit on your bed and just a few lines. Like, that wouldn't be a very massive writing practice. It would just be a kind of, okay, well, this, and this to help me just see, rather than it becoming a essay or, yeah, just make it feel. So let's do it like that for now. When we get to the soul-making, we may introduce writing practices, indeed. Walking. It's gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous here. You're so blessed. I'm blessed to be here. Please walk, build the fire, or the potter's wheel, or the lake. Let that be primary, privilege the Brahmaviharas, and then when other things need attention, which of course they will, they can be causes for deepening in skill.